Blog Talk Radio.
There are places in Havana that remind me of Savannah, parts of West Virginia that might as well be Kenya, parts of New York City,
parts of New York City,
parts of Mississippi,
parts of
Tennessee look like another world to me.
Welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing, and this is the Homeless No More Radio podcast. We are listening to the beautiful music of India Ari talking about the ghetto. The ghetto is everywhere, just as homelessness, poverty, and all the other challenges of life that we face. And so we're bringing you this podcast today as a universal issue or challenge that we all face in our journey sometimes. Homelessness is a state of mind mostly, because when you think of it, we all come here into our mother's womb as souls, as spirits, and we're all here to learn lessons. And so all of us have a home in heaven, in the heavenly realms, in the cosmos, above the earth. And so our soul's journey on this earth when we enter the womb is all about learning a lesson. And some of us have different lessons to learn than others. Just as I have not had the experience of sleeping on the street, except in, I would say, in the Bahamas. I did have to sleep in a hammock all night because I didn't have a hotel room, but that's a whole different story. But it's something to be sleeping under the stars at night when you have no other choices. And those are the types of events we're going to be talking about on this show. But our main focus, our main intention of having this show is to teach the homeless how to build their own homes and grow their own food. That is our vision, and that is what we will be, our goal for this show will be to bring on carpenters, to bring on naturopathic individuals, to bring on agriculturists, to bring on people who have a solution. Because it seems in most of our cities, whether it's Brazil or India or wherever, where there's homeless situations, as India sings about, the ghetto is everywhere, most people are not coming up with many solutions that are permanent. Remember the saying, when you give a person a fish, you feed them for the day, but when you teach them how to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. So that is what our hearts are designed or geared toward on this show. We want to teach the homeless about fishing, how to fish, and in this case, how to build a home. But today we're going to go into a little bit about understanding or innerstanding the mind of those who have had that experience of homelessness. We want to understand, for instance, why mothers with grown children end up on the streets or end up in homeless shelters. And I think we all need to have a little bit more insight on this issue, because so we're not as ignorant and asking what may seem like stupid questions when we talk to someone who's had this homeless challenge. We want to have full understanding and overstanding as to why some end up under the stars for several days or in homeless shelters, which can be a very uncomfortable place. But again, we're all here to learn important lessons, and at the end of the day, we want to ask our Creator, what is it that you want me to learn from this situation that can be very challenging and stressful? So once again, I want to welcome my friend and co-host for this show, Sharon Anderson. Sharon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You speak up just a little bit more, and we'll hear you real loud and clear.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
That is better. Thank you. So today, okay. I want to share with you, I went for a walk through, Lake Eola, went around Lake Eola. I met some interesting people, many of them who are carrying their big backpacks and all their belongings with them and sleeping on them. And there was a beautiful day at Lake Eola today. And one person playing a guitar, and it's an amazing place to walk around and have a perspective and gratitude for just being in that place and meeting people who are having different experiences. So we are going to be inviting next week, especially we're going to have some people on, Carpenter for one, and other individuals in our community who are going to be sharing the same vision that we have to help the homeless by building homes and helping them grow food. So Sharon, we heard Sharon's journey, a summary of her journey over the last few years last week. If you missed the show, you can always listen in the archives. We got a very good explanation or a good description of how Sharon ended up in homeless shelters, and mostly because of the sickness of a child. When you have a child who's sick and you don't have anyone else who can take care of that child and you can't work, those are some of the circumstances that can cause a person to look for shelter in a place in your city that is not under the stars, but at least it's a homeless shelter. So Sharon, why don't you share again briefly your journey, and how you ended up homeless and what you're doing. Bring us current as to what you're doing now to remain not homeless.
Well, what actually happened during the time that I was homeless, I went to school. I went to culinary school. And once I graduated from culinary school and was able to work with one of the celebrity chefs and basically build myself up a little bit more on what I were actually out there, not having anything. After, like you said, you know, after you take care of a child that's been sick and your father that's been sick and different ones in your life who have been sick and you're responsible basically for taking care of them, it can lead you to a homeless state, a homeless situation. But during the time that I were in the shelter, I went to school and I graduated from culinary arts. And I pursued to go on and work with the celebrity chef. When that program was up, I just continued to work my business. And that's another thing that a lot of people that is actually homeless don't understand the gift that's inside of them.
Right.
And they don't understand that gift. And I knew that I had a gift. I knew that I had a gift. So I worked the gift, and I got skill, and I learned, I read, I studied. I got out here, and I talked to people in spite of what it looked like. And that's another thing with homeless people. They have to be able to recognize their talent and gift that lies inside of them. You know, baking and cooking is my thing. It's my passion. I love doing that. But there's people out there that's homeless that got gifts, that can work with their hands, they can build things, they can do car washes. It's a number of things that can be done, and they don't recognize that gift inside of them. So it do take people to understand what's out there and help them come and bring their talents and gifts into flourishing.
Right, right. And don't you think that's what the focus has to be when you're in that situation, is to figure out and to meditate and to pray and ask the Creator, what is it that I should be doing with my life now that I'm in this situation? Do you take time to pause and really prayerfully consider, what is my next step?
Well, the thing of it is, I'm always been a prayer warrior. I always prayed. I always, sought, the Lord for my life, and I knew what my gifting was. But sometimes, for instance, I'll put it like this here. I met a man just night before last, actually it was Tuesday night, and I was out promoting my business, and he stood there, and he just complained, and he said, I do this, and I do that, and he complained, and when he finished, I stopped him. I had an opportunity to witness to him. I had an opportunity to tell him my testimony of where I've been and the homeless situation that I've been in, to find out that he is homeless, that he said he stays in the coalition. And I told him, I said, where you at is not so bad. I said, what's the bad thing about it is you're very negative. I said, those gifts that you have inside of you, use them. Don't blame the white man. Don't blame no man. Just go about doing what your gift is. And speak positive things over your life. Because you're speaking negative and looking down on the situation is what's making things bad for you. And
right.
As I began to speak to him, he was so grateful because he kept saying, thank you, I needed that, I needed that. So those are the things that you run into, because sometimes, don't get me wrong, I have felt sorry for myself. Well, why me? Why me? But then I come to realization, why not me? Why
right.
not me? Because we all go through something. Everybody don't go through homelessness, but they go through something.
Right,
And so they just, it has to come to a point that you learn. And these people need to be just spoken to, speaking to somebody, a positive person, speaking into their lives and showing them who they really are, showing them how they can get out there and make a difference in what they do.
Well, that is exactly right. And as you pointed out, when you've been praying most of your life and seeking the Creator and the spiritual reason, purpose for your life, when you get to the lowest point, like being homeless can be one of the lowest points of your life, there should be at that point in your spirituality and your maturity and your walk, there should be some understanding about why you're in that spot, don't you think? Because you've been prayerful all your life. If you have faith in the Creator and the angels and the messengers and the Word, then when you come to a low point in your life, we all, if we've had that faith growing in us, should be in a somewhat understanding position or place of wisdom and understanding that what this is happening because I need to grow, because the timing, whatever. There should be kind of an awakening as to why you're in that low spot. And I'm so grateful that you, Sharon, are using that experience to encourage others, because that's what it's all about. We are meant to learn the lesson and then teach the lesson. And anyone in a state of homelessness wants to be validated. They want to be loved. They want to be given some help in some way, whether it's by word or money or whatever. They're looking for some kind of assistance. And so I'm really grateful, Sharon, that you are willing to share your story and give us some of the wisdom that you have learned, because that's really what this is all about, is learning the lesson and then teaching the lesson. Now, we have a caller on the line who with their hand up, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the phones to area code 706202. Give us your name and where you're calling from, please. Are you there? Area code 706.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can
hear
you now. Yes,
okay.
I can.
Look, greetings, sister, and greetings to your guest, Sharon. This is Kwame.
Yes. Kwame in Georgia, right?
Right.
Yes.
And I'm a So I was just chiming in to see what the show that you're doing is about. And for the most part, it's very much on time and a very needed subject to be broadcast and put to the people. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's different things that happen in one's life that makes them come to that point where they could have been in a home and now they're homeless. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like they say that, you know, you're just two paychecks from being poor, from being middle class
right.
to being poor. So
right.
what we've, how we have allowed a system to dictate how we run our life is part of the problem. But the key part in what Sharon was saying and ministering to that brother and giving him words of encouragement, because these are the tools that help to build the individual that is in that state of homelessness. First, you have to build that person, because we can have the carpenters and the gardeners and all of that, but if
right.
that person doesn't have the home within them, in their heart, then it's kind of senseless. So
right,
these
right.
are the key parts of what we're doing in rebuilding the human, and this is what we're talking about. In the other programs, talking about getting off the electro-polluted grid and getting back on nature's grid and being able to help those people to find within themselves that higher self, because something has brought them to that lower part of going back to almost animalistic living. So
right,
it's,
right.
It's a very important piece that you're doing, and it's really powerful because in these shows that I'm getting on and talking to, it's the women that are birthing these ideas of life-sustaining tools for us to remake ourselves. So
yeah.
I'm most grateful to hear what you're sharing, and thank Sharon for what she's done, because she says she went to culinary school, but she's also, you know, learned in her heart how to feed and prepare palatable meals for people to digest into their soul.
Yes,
hallelujah. Especially when you think about one of the reasons you end up homeless, because you had sick relatives. Your relatives were not, for whatever reason, the relatives were not able to take care of themselves, then there's another opportunity to share with others the importance of taking care of you first and feeding you first and gaining knowledge and wisdom about how to nourish this temple that the soul lives in. A lot of times, though, Sharon, I know in ignorance, we don't understand why mothers who have grown children end up in a homeless shelter. Can you shed some light on that? Why is it we have sometimes parent mothers, especially in shelters or on the street, when they have grown children? What's the behind that?
Influence of other people. You can
influence
have
of other people.
Other people, because a lot of young girls want to be loved to the point they start dating guys who actually controls their lives.
Uh-huh.
And they tell them what to do. Well, your mother is in the way. They want all the money. And especially if you're a born-again Christian, you know, and you're trying to tell your child the right way, the enemy gets into that relationship between that mother and that child because of the fact that they want to smoke weed, they want to drink, they want to be into the homosexuality, they want the men take the money and they control the house and they tell them what they do. They are influenced by other powers, of other people.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason why that a lot of you, I have heard in the shelter over and over again that well, my kids and I just don't get along, and it was the same way
right.
with mine. You know,
mm-hmm,
I had
mm-hmm.
a daughter that stays here. Oh, Mama, I love you. Mama, I love you. I told her, I said, well, listen, baby, your love don't show much of anything to me. You know, after
mm-hmm.
living in the hospital with you for 2 years, what you love more is the world. And the
mm-hmm.
world has the influence, especially when you are born again and you're living right, that you're fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So until that child come into the realistic knowledge that, and they see things the way the Lord will have them to see things, then they're going to continue to act out. So they get with the wrong people, the wrong crowd, and then they don't, they say they love you, they don't, you know, they don't want no parts of it. They just, I'm grown now, I want to live my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, I can say,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
and
go
then
ahead.
On the other hand, when I was in Atlanta struggling and I was in the shelter, I had one daughter who paid my stay the whole time I was in Atlanta. And then when she, for some reason, her birthday came around and I told her, I said, God's going to bless you with a lump sum of money. I can't tell you where it's coming from, but he's going to bless you. And what ended up happening was, sure enough, I was just telling her on her birthday, and I wrote in a card, actually, to her that she was coming to some money. I said, I don't know how, but you are. No, because you are such a blessing to me, even though she didn't have nowhere to live. She was living with her friends, but she would always pay my way through the shelter. Well, lo and behold, she ended up coming into that money. And she said, Mama, I'm going to go get an apartment, and you're coming with me. And that's where I stayed with my daughter in Atlanta from that point on. And I said,
mm-hmm.
well, can we come to an agreement on something? I know that you don't understand my lifestyle until God changed yours. Can I not have you to bring anybody in this house that you're not married to? She said, Mama, I give you my word. And she did that. And then after a while, things got a little hectic, and I moved back to Florida. But some will do when they can do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of influences are the men, drugs, homosexuality, and those are the things that eliminate children from being a blessing to their parents, as the Lord would have it.
That is just so fascinating and interesting. I'm going to let another caller chime in. They've got their hand up. Area code 480-430. You're on the air. Give us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Actually, sister, can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Mama
yes.
AZ. You have a different phone.
Yes, ma'am. This is Miss Lily's phone, and we're on our way to Chandler to gather a play, and I didn't bring my phone, and I said, okay, we're stuck in traffic. I'm gonna chime in, and
okay.
and greetings to your guest. I briefly just heard Brother Kwame, and the sister that just spoke. Is she your guest?
Yeah, this is Sharon. She's definitely she's part of this show. She's the reason we're doing this show. Yes, it's Sharon Anderson. This is Mama AZ.
Wait a minute.
Hi, Mommy.
Hey, my sister. Your last name is Anderson?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Is that your married name or that's your maiden name?
That's my birth name. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that's another story. Sister Riata, you're totally on point. I'm an Anderson, too. I've had 5-6 husbands in this lifetime. I never told anybody this, but I'm an Anderson as well. This is good. This is good. You're not homeless, are you?
Well, I'm living with my cousin right now.
Okay. Well,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to listen because if it were not for Vanilla Bright, Vanilla Bright's World is the company, and it's a sister of a high sister, elder sister, that has allowed me to have a spot here in Arizona. I would be homeless too on this mission. I live in North Carolina, but I'm out here where I was born, and my family is choosing to not have anything to do with me. They stole all of my land and my house, borrowed everything that they could and squandered it, and I'm out here. So the Creator, the Most High, is awesome, because I'm still working on my mission, sister. And one major thing that I am overstanding, our children do not overstand their mission yet. So therefore, mm-hmm. we must link with others who are on the same page, who may not be in our immediate family, and come together as a unit to love and provide for one another, because it's crucial. It is crucial. And one major thing that I want to say, no matter what, we as elder women, I'm 63, we must, anything, any way necessary, learn to take care of us and eat right, think right, love us, period. And that's my comment. I can go on and on and on and on. I give thanks to the Most High, sister, that you listened to the Great Spirit and you created this show, because I have a friend who is there in Florida, Angel JoJo, and she's living a similar journey. And I don't know if she's called in or not, but it's okay. But I hope she's just listening. And that's all I can say. I want to listen to your journey, Sister Anderson. I think this is awesome that you are an Anderson.
Yeah. Are you an Anderson by marriage or by birth?
By marriage. I'm Paris by birth. One of my husbands, he's on the other side, he's Anderson. And he comes from Albany, Mississippi. So that's all that I was able to find out right now. But thank you.
Oh,
thank us. I want to listen to your journey.
Well,
okay.
We always find some type of similarities between the people who are on these blog talk radio shows. And here we have another. Who would have thought that link between Sharon and Mama AZ would be a name, which is another reason the names are important, that we call people and our Creator and all that. But it's also interesting what you said, Sharon, about your children. It's so deep. It's so deep that once they grow, once they come out of the womb, we are all so blessed, those of us who have given birth to these souls. The woman gives birth to all humans, and we're so blessed to have that experience. Even when you birth a child, it's such an amazing experience to have life growing in you for 9 months, and then to see that life come to fruition and come out of you is like always such an amazing thing. But then reality starts to hit in when they start talking and walking and doing their own thing and living their own life. You cannot control these souls. And so this is even this homelessness situation is such a wake up for parents to realize that our children are messengers. They're nothing but messengers. They are here to teach us a lesson just as much as we taught them in the early years of their infancy and their toddler years and their school years. It's just making me think about the universe city we all live in on this earth. It's a place of teaching. And to have you talk about your children, Sharon, and I have a cousin, I was hoping she would be on the line. She birthed eight children, and she ended up homeless while her children were adults in the same city. So that always, like, blew my mind that you could give your heart and soul to these human beings for 9 months and then bring them, push them out into the Earth's atmosphere. And then years later, and you care for them and you nurture them. They're on your breast. You're giving them bottle, whatever. You feed these people, these little people, these little souls. And then years later, they're your teachers. They're your messengers. Because when you cannot even live with these people in this situation, that becomes a schoolroom. That's a schoolroom in the university of our Creator. Yes, Mama AZ, you had a comment.
Yes, I do. My daughter happened to call me the other day, Muffin, and she's in Roanoke, Virginia, and I'm so grateful. She's a truck driver. And she said, Mommy, I'm
Can you speak up a little? Can you speak up a little?
Yeah. Hold up.
Okay. Yes. Can you hear me, sister, better?
That's a little better. Go ahead.
Okay. My daughter says, Mommy, I haven't heard from you. And I said to her, I said, I'm growing up. I'm growing to my life. I said, I'm grateful because you are not in the lockdown, the vacation Bible school, meaning prison, and you're not strung out on drugs, and you're able to be who you are. I said, so don't waste your time and energy calling me up because you are a good teacher. You have taught me that I must do for me. You see, people, we must realize that our children, sometimes they're not here to help us. We are just
right.
The gateway to get them back to maybe their soul group.
Right.
To be with who they need to be with, and we were the avenue to get them back here. It was very hard for me to understand that and realize that, but since I've been here this time in Arizona, I'm getting thawed out. I'm coming back to myself in it's very hard. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It gets less and less painful when you realize that you made these agreements with these people and just give thanks that you were able to birth them and get them here to do their journey. Because you have to realize that there are other people that may be more like you that the Creator has put in a place for you to be able to reach out to continue your mission. It may not be your children. And that's what we must understand and intercede when they just, like, kick you to the curb. Don't look at it like that.
Right.
Do your best to not to look at it from that perspective. And I'm talking to me as well, everybody. So,
yes. I think all of us here who are mothers, who have birthed children, you're talking to us, because that's one of the hardest adjustments as mothers that we have to make. If we end up homeless, that's a big lesson for us, but in general, mothers have to make the adjustment in our thinking that these humans that we birthed into this Earth's atmosphere are not going to always love us the way we think. They're not going to meet our expectations as mothers. They're going to turn their backs on us. They're going to do their own thing. They're going to get on drugs. They're going to do crazy things. They are going to be whatever the Creator called them to be. And so we, as these lessons that we're learning in homelessness or whether we're in divorce or whatever, it's all about really seeing our children as messengers and not as our children. In fact, to be saying that this is my child, or it's an ego issue, it's an ego problem when we want to possess everything. They're not our children. They're messengers from the Creator, from the Most High. And so I think Sharon would agree that that's one of the lessons she had to come to in her situation as being homeless and be in gratitude. You even stated in the beginning of the show how this man you met, he was so complaining so much about his situation, and you had to shake him up and say, hey, you're just complaining too much. You're not going to get anywhere. So I think you agree, Sharon, that it goes for our children as well, that we really can't complain. When they become adults and they're pretty much on their own, whether they can't, we can't live with them or not, we have to accept whatever choices they make. And we've done our job. We've nursed them. We've nourished them. We've cared for them the best we knew how. And now they're on their own, and we have to watch the show, watch the child's show.
You know, sister, sometimes when your children are very, very attentive to you, that's because of the agreement that the contract that they had with you before either of you came back to this planet at this or that particular time. And that's
right.
The bottom line is the contract, the agreement. So just give thanks to the Most High. If you have a child who loves you and know that that's the contract.
Really, I need help.
Okay, it's a little tough.
Okay, now. So that's exactly right. And so, Sharon, I know you said you had an appointment at in a few minutes, so I'm going to let you have the final words before you have to leave.
Okay, yes, I just want to say, you know, I really thank everybody for coming out, I mean, on the Homeless No More radio talk show and listen to my testimony. And just saying that I'm looking forward to change.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to change. Much. Oh. Okay. Yeah, I I'm sorry,
so you're optimistic.
Somebody spotted me. Yes, and I'm just looking for. I'm looking, actually, to see change, in the situation, because I know there can be change. And I like the idea about, you know, adopting one homeless person and getting out here, you know, doing some things that really need to be done, that's really going to make a difference. Not just somebody saying, oh, we got shelters, and giving someone to stay, but actually to look at the whole area of their lives, from eating to education to building up their self-esteem, building up the character in them, so that they can say, I too was homeless, but I can adopt one. And I think that that's what's going to make the change. That's what's going to make the difference. Not just being in a homeless shelter, living in a homeless shelter and, excuse me, I'm sorry, just living in a homeless shelter to give them somewhere to stay without no direction. So
absolutely.
I'm just looking very much of getting out here and making some things and making some changes and seeing what we all can do as a part. Myself is just working, you know, to build what I need to build to be able to get into my home and pull somebody else into their home. So that's what's going to make a difference. And holding the pastors and community people accountable, because there's something that everybody can do. You know, you got big businesses, you know, you got churches, you got people that can make a difference. So I'm looking forward to change in the homeliness that getting children, you know, tutored so they can read and pass LCAT, so whatever it is that it needs to be done. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely, and thank you, Sharon. That's why you had to be homeless. The reason becomes very clear when we're prayerful and meditating and really seeking wisdom and understanding, overstanding in our life as to why we have to go through these rough times, these challenging situations of homelessness or addictions or whatever, becomes clearer and clearer when you have like-minded people ready to help you and help you see the bigger picture. Because the bigger picture for all of us is to learn the lesson and teach the lesson to the collective minds who are in our atmosphere, in our neighborhood. And just as Sharon mentioned, we need to be holding our politicians, our pastors, people in the community who have influence, we need to be holding them accountable as well. We need to be helping people see that there is. We need to be coming up with solutions in our community. And we hope this is a show that is going out all over the world. And so our hope is that the people who are listening will begin to develop programs in their own area, that this will not just be something that is local in Orlando. This is the first of the Orlando program that we're starting, but we're hoping that this will spread throughout our country, if not the world, because as the song said in the beginning, the world is a ghetto, and these homeless situations or conditions are all over the earth. And so go ahead.
I'm sorry to cut through. I'm just going to let y'all know that I'm going to sign out right now so I can get to my next stop. And
okay.
I look forward to hearing from y'all next Thursday.
Yes, and we look forward to joining with you next Thursday. We have a mission. This is our assignment, to come together once a week to uplift the masses, to educate the masses, and to even reach out to homeless people in your community. We hope that this show will be empowering for many people to start communicating with those in your neighborhood and your community, finding out, talking to them, establishing relationships in your community. And as we said in the very beginning, our mission is to help the homeless build their own homes, get out of debt, and grow their own food. That's the solution that we don't see offered very often at all, and that's what we're about on Homeless No More Radio, is to bring solutions, encourage, inspire people, validate the homeless, and bring up ideas for everyone who's listening to work in their own communities to make a difference and develop their own plans and programs to help the situation in their cities. And we have on the line, I think, Brother L.A., are you there? I see his phone lit up, but maybe. Hello,
I'm
are
here.
You there?
Yeah,
we're, Sharon had to leave, and we're about to sign off. Did you have any? Brother L.A. Davis is on the line. He is the host for It's My House, and it was It's My House meeting first of the year that came up with this program, and we're very thankful that L.A. has come up with solutions for the homeless as well as ideas for this program to move forward. So we just wanted to thank you, L.A., and do you have any final words as we sign off? Sharon had another appointment. We had Mama A.Z. on the line. We had Brother Kwame. You have any final words you'd like to add?
No, not tonight.
Okay, well, thank you for listening in. And we're going to be back next Thursday. Every Thursday we'll be coming back and bringing you some interviews with the community, people in the community who have ideas and on how to make our vision a reality to help the homeless build their own homes and to help them grow their own food. And that's our mission. So we thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and make it a reality in your own community to at least validate the people who are hanging out in the parks with their all their belongings, who have simplified their lives in many ways. And remember, they're messengers for us. Every homeless person you see is a messenger. I often see people, I'm sure you do too, holding the little cardboard sign saying they're a veteran and they need help, or I'm homeless and they need help. And I'm always searching for something, whether it's quarters, nickels, dimes, or a dollar, just to offer to them. And that's my way of, that's my offering, that's my tithe, is to offer up whatever I have. I'm driving in a nice, comfortable car, air-conditioned most of the time, and I'm when any time you meet a person holding up a little cardboard sign saying they need help, give them a little help. It's showing, you're showing love and compassion to that person. And that little help that you give will spread out in the collective universe, even in your neighborhood, when you are offering someone else a helping hand. So thank you very much. Mama AZ, did you have any other comments you want to make?
No, ma'am. Everything is great, and I'm just listening, and I give thanks to everybody who contributed to the show. I give thanks, sister, that you listen. You really are listening. Do you hear me now?
Hallelujah. Thank you. So we're going to sign off with the song that I think is so appropriate for this evening and ending this. It's called Grateful. That is the key for all of us to experience the love, compassion, understanding from our Creator. When we express gratitude from our hearts, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. So thank you all for listening. Come back next week. And here we are with India Ari saying, great, a reminder for us to keep this attitude as we dance through life on this earth. Shalom.
Cease to amaze me the way you love me.